Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about our freedom in Christ, this redemption that we have because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Powerful passage in the book of Galatians, starting in verse 10 of chapter 3. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So we're all cursed, right? I mean, we can't carry out everything that was written in the book of the law. We can't even really get past commandment number one. Mm-hmm. That was the history of the people of Israel. Certainly that's our history as well, and that's to have no other God before the one true God. I mean, we're constantly bowing down and worshiping things out there in the world, thinking that they can bring us happiness, they can bring us meaning and purpose to life. There's wealth, there's relationships, there's status, there's power, there's prestige. All of those things we bow down to in hopes that through that we can find meaning and purpose to life. So that's commandment number one. We couldn't keep that. So as a result, we were all cursed. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God. So if you're relying on your ability to live up to those commandments, you're without hope. It's impossible for you to be justified before God. And he says the reason, because the righteous will live by faith. Our justification is through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not in anything that we could bring to the table. So the law is not based on faith. So what's the opposite of law? It's faith. What's the opposite of faith? It's law. Those two stand at polar opposite ends. And it says, on the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. So if you are saying, God, I am going to justify myself through my obedience to these laws, then you've just given yourself a death sentence. You've just made that curse even worse as far as it goes. But here's the good news. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. So Jesus Christ came into our world, entered into our marketplace, so to speak, and he paid the price to buy us out of this marketplace so that we could be set free to enjoy a new way of life. And he did that by becoming sin for us. And there is that Old Testament passage that talks about cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Christ became that curse for us. Paul put it this way in Romans, he who knew no sin became sin for us. So he paid the price, and he did so in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So why did Christ pay the price? To buy us out of, to set us free from that curse of the law, the curse of sin and death, so that we could receive the gift of God's Spirit. That's a pretty good redemption, isn't it?
Sure is.
I can't think of a better gift than having Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit living in me every single day of my life. Wherever I go, he goes. Whatever is being thrown at me, he's right there to lean into, to trust, to abide in, to depend upon, and he's more powerful. The one who is in us is more powerful than the one who is in the world. So that's our joy, that's our privilege, is having Christ in us every single moment of every single day. That's what this redemption is all about.
That's good stuff, man. Thank you, Bob. Plenty of open lines, friends, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open right now. We want you to come in and be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and you can join us right now, again, at 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we kind of get taken to task by David, who wrote to us through oneplace.com, because we're not teaching the full gospel. Just want you to know. He says, God can't save us just by his love. Love is the motive, but there has to be the sacrifice for sin, which Jesus did. Please preach the whole message of the gospel. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. God disciplines those he loves as children. It's not punishment, it's discipline. Please try to remember that we still get disciplined as Christians.
Well, that's quite amusing that he would say, you know, teach the whole gospel, the fact that Christ died for our sins. Obviously, he's only listened to a small snippet of maybe one single broadcast.
Yeah.
We talk about the shed blood of Christ every single day, and the fact that his shed blood ushered us into a new covenant. His shed blood redeemed us from the curse of the law. His shed blood is the very reason that we can say with boldness and confidence that we do have forgiveness of sins. Now, where I think he's headed as far as this idea of the fact God disciplining us is that there's continual punishment for sins as a believer. So if we do something wrong, then God, he gets into the mix and he punishes us. He does something for retribution. Well, that's not true. If you teach that, you're not teaching the truth of the gospel. Because the truth of the gospel is that Jesus died for sins, all sins, once and for all. And so the punishment that we justly deserved, and that's what we have to understand, we justly deserved to be punished by God. That punishment went upon Jesus. So that just punishment went to Christ. He absorbed that into himself. He took our punishment for us. So that when we come to him by faith, we receive new life, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're declared righteous, which is proof positive that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. So God doesn't deal with us on the basis of justice. That justice was taken care of at the cross. So God is both just and the justifier. So how does he deal with us today when we sin? Well, how does he deal with us today, period, not just when we sin? Well, he's constantly teaching us. And that's what it means to discipline a person, to teach them so that they can experience a harvest of righteousness. So justice is an act that looks back, bringing all books into balance, so to speak. Discipline is a action that looks forward.
Yes.
It's looking forward to a harvest of righteousness. So God disciplines us constantly, whether we're doing all the right things or we're doing all the wrong things. God is continually disciplining us, teaching us, developing us, maturing our faith, giving us a stronger anchor to the hope that we have, and bringing us to deeper expressions of his love in this life that we live in today. So that's all a part of the discipline of God. If we weren't his children, he wouldn't discipline us. But it's always for something good, for something positive, for a benefit, for a future benefit, as the writer of Hebrews says, to produce a harvest of righteousness.
Yeah, I think the critical point in there that you just made is that he disciplines us all the time. Most of us have been raised with the idea that discipline is only something happens when you're bad. And now my parents have to discipline me. No, your parents are disciplining you every moment of your life. Now that discipline changes over time as you mature, and so does God's. But it's always there. And sometimes we need his discipline the most when we have had great spiritual victories, because our tendency is to say, wow, look what I did. And the Spirit says, no, I did that for you. That is a piece of discipline right there in the midst of a tremendous victory, and it helps keep us straight on the path, walking by faith,
indeed,
not by sight.
And that's where this this truth of redemption really comes into play.
Yes.
Because we've been bought out of the slave market, mm-hmm. and we've been adopted as sons. And we're going to look at that next week as we continue in this study on redemption. But we have full rights as sons.
Yes.
And so the fact that we've been redeemed and have been given full rights of sons gives us the freedom to really receive the discipline of the Lord. We're not fearful that he's going to punish us because that went upon Jesus. Mm-hmm. Perfect love casts out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. So if I believed that I was going to be punished for my sins, I would never draw near to God.
No.
But the fact that all of my sins were punished in Christ allows me to draw near to God with perfect confidence, with boldness, in order to receive grace and mercy in my time of need. So that's where this redemption thing is so important. It actually frees us to receive, to expectantly receive, to want the discipline of the Lord
yes.
in our lives. And getting back to this point of the fact that God disciplines us all the time, think about how you raise your children, or think about if you were a coach. If you're out hitting ground balls and you've been teaching a certain technique on how to field those ground balls, when the player does it correctly, you're going to be disciplined in teaching them that, hey, that was right. Good job. Mm-hmm. Let's keep doing that. And if they don't, you're going to say, hey, remember when you were got 10 in a row? What were you doing there? So it's a reasoning together so that the player can come to their own conclusions and say, hey, this is the right way. I want to keep reinforcing that right way. Mm-hmm. And that's the way God is with us. Sometimes he wants to really dig deep into our hearts and souls so that we can see what's really going on there. Oftentimes we can't see it. We're mm-hmm. blind to what's really happening. So he reasons together with us. He digs deeply. And that's a part of this word discipline and scourging. It's God digging deeply within, inquiring deeply to find out what's really going on. He already knows what's really going on. Sometimes we don't know.
Yes.
Now, that can be painful. But the result of that is a harvest of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And God is so gracious, so gentle, so tender with us that we can freely just lay it out there. We can freely just say, here's the junk that's going on, and he will walk us through that and bring us to a point where we can really say to the Lord, thank you. Thank you for your work, your wonderful, loving work in my life to bring me to that point where I can get rid of that stuff and really just cling to you with everything that I am. That's what discipline is all about.
David, hope you're listening and hope that helps to clear up any doubt that you had about what we teach every day here at Basic Gospel. And I do mean every day. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial right now. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, we've been talking about it for quite a while now. February 7th through the 18th are the dates for our visit to Israel. And we have arranged for a visit that you will never forget. Imagine the panorama of biblical history, places you've heard about and stories that you've read all your Christian life, all coming alive before your very eyes. The Jezreel Valley, site of the future Battle of Armageddon. The Sea of Galilee, where Jesus gathers the disciples. The Mount of Beatitudes. The Jordan River, where John was baptizing. Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus posed the question, who do the people say I am, and who do you say that I am? We'll visit the Dead Sea and Qumran, the discovery site of the Dead Sea Scrolls. We'll visit Bethlehem, of course, the birthplace of Jesus, and the shepherd's fields where the Messiah's birth was heralded by angels. And, of course, the city of our redemption. We'll visit Jerusalem. We'll visit the Temple Mount and the Western or Wailing Wall, the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll walk the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha, the place of the crucifixion, and we'll visit the empty tomb. So much to see, so much to experience. Israel with Basic Gospel this February, and registration deadline, of course, is now August 1st and we encourage you to take advantage of this. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. Just click events at basicgospel.net for all the information.
I'm ready to go tomorrow. As I was in there listening to you describe all of those places and what we're going to see, it's like I'm ready to be there.
Yeah,
I mean, it is just the most wonderful place. Israel is a gorgeous land.
It is.
I mean, it is absolutely just breathtaking in its beauty. And then you add that to the spiritual realities. When we talk about redemption, we're going to go see the place where our redemption was bought and paid for.
Yes, sir.
By the shed blood of Jesus, more precious than silver or gold. And I tell you, the moment, the very first time that you look down upon Jerusalem, you're gonna ride up the backside of Mount Scopus. You're going to come through this tunnel, and you're going to see it. It is going to blow you away.
It's just an emotional time.
It is one of the most emotional moments you will ever have in your life. You're just overwhelmed by the sense of the reality of Christ and what he has accomplished for you through your death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
Don't miss this opportunity to see the land through the eyes of grace, through the lens of the new covenant. It's not that you have to see it in order to be a really good Christian or any of those things. It
enhances your life.
It does.
Yeah.
It heightens your awareness of what you really have in Christ Jesus. So it's a small investment, but a worthy investment in your spiritual growth and maturity in Christ.
Absolutely. Again, click events at basicgospel.net for all the information. Well, guys, a question from Samuel. He says, several years ago, a co-worker who also was a pastor had shared his testimony. This past year, I was shocked to find out that he's no longer pastoring. When I started talking about the Bible and about God, he abruptly ended the dialogue. His viewpoint now resembles that of an atheist, throwing doubts on the Bible altogether. I understand how religion can disappoint, but should we turn our eyes on Jesus instead of staying away from religion? Would you please share your thoughts on this particular issue?
Well, there are certainly a lot of people that give lip service to the gospel, give lip service to Christianity for various reasons and motivations, but then when the pressures of life mount, it shows where their heart really is.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, they find out that they really had never believed to begin with. We see that happen all the time. John wrote this: they went out from among us because they were never a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
So every Sunday, if you go to a church service, you can just look out into that auditorium and you can just recognize that not everybody in that auditorium is saved.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone has been born again of the Spirit of God and has been made new in Christ Jesus. Everyone there would say they are Christian, but when the pressures of life come their way, I think their real belief system is going to surface, and they're going to see that it's not Christian at all. And it sounds like that's what happened with this particular friend.
Exactly.
And the other thing about ministers, about pastors, you think guys in the role of a pastorship that he's preaching every Sunday, that doesn't necessarily mean that guy's saved.
Right.
So many people get into the ministry in hopes of solving their own soulish dilemmas. Mm-hmm. John Wesley was one of those guys, the founder of Methodism and the Methodist Church. He came to America to reach the Native Americans in hopes of saving his own soul. So he was trying to save his soul through good works. And it wasn't until he got back on the boat, headed back to England, that he heard the real gospel and realized that it's by faith in Jesus. And when he responded to that gospel, he said his heart was strangely warmed. And that's his testimony. Well, there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have entered the ministry in hopes of saving their own souls. So I would imagine that's what the motivation was for this particular gentleman, and the fact that he does not want to talk about that experience is just indicative that he really probably got into it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to keep bringing people back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never assume anything. Paul certainly didn't assume anything. Somebody can say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, they could have a completely different meaning for that than what the Bible does. Mm-hmm. They could have a completely different understanding as to what the gospel is other than what the Bible declares it to be. So if they say they're Christian, keep talking to them. Keep sharing what you know to be the good news, what you know to be the truth is revealed in the Word of God, and let the gospel have its work in a person's life. So, you know, we see that all the time. Yep. Lots of folks use those situations and say, see, you can lose your salvation. Well, what I would say in a situation like that is he never was saved to begin with.
Yeah, Samuel, thanks for your question. A very interesting topic. Final question, guys. This is from Carrie. She asks, will believers receive rewards in heaven? Do we receive rewards by helping others as we are led by the Spirit here on earth? Please explain.
It's a good question. And certainly there's some discussion of rewards in the Word of God. We see it in, I think, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul brings that to light, I think, for one reason. And that's so that we would quit judging one another. In the church of Corinth, there was great division. So people were following one person, and another group was following another person. And they were all claiming to be more important than everyone else, that their work was more important than everyone else's work. And Paul was saying, hey, the motivation behind what you're doing is the most important thing, and none of us can look in each other's hearts and determine motivation. That's God's job.
Yeah.
So he's going to bring that to light. And those things that were done for selfish motivations, those things are just going to be burned up. What remains is what Christ has done in and through you. That's what's going to stand eternally. And I think we're going to have that moment of clarity of seeing those things that Christ has done and seeing those things that we've done on our own.
We thought were pretty cool.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So are we rewarded for those things? I think all of us, if there are rewards, we're just going to lay them down at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a crown of righteousness. We all have that crown of righteousness. There's the crown of life. Those things are the result of Christ's work on our behalf through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, salvation is not an issue of blowing through the cap on your sales goals. That's not what it's about. It's all about humbly accepting a free gift from Jesus himself.
Right. And we all stand equal.
We've all been
given full rights of sons, and we're going to see what that really is when we stand before him and we see that we're exactly like him.
Yeah. Well, as you heard today in one of our questions, people need freedom. God's goal for you is freedom. And when you hear stories of pastors who have burned out or people who get all caught up in, have I done enough, you know they're not free. And we exist to bring the freedom from guilt and shame and fear and sin to the table so that you and your friends and our friends can respond to Jesus Christ in a way that really does set them free. And we have the privilege of asking you to help us do this. This isn't our ministry. This is Jesus' ministry. And you get a chance to partner with us to share this message yourself by your giving to enable us to stay on the air and to reach out to other people. We thank you in advance for that. Bob can tell you how to do that. We just look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, just click donate at any page on basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And, of course, with your gift of $20 or more, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's brand-new message, Freedom Fighters, showing how to live in and live out the freedom that's yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, we're glad you're with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us for a study edition of Basic Gospel.